وحده فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم. All praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one can guide him. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah with just fear and do not die except in the state of al-Islam. O human being, fear your Lord who created you from one soul and from that one soul its mate and from the two of them countless men and women who are spread abroad in multitudes. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember the wounds that bore you and do not break your family ties, for surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way that He should be feared, and say a word that is directed to the right, a word that is correct, a word that is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repair your deeds for you and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and the last and His messenger, for surely they have already achieved the greatest of success. And as to what follows, surely the best speech, the most handsome speech, is the speech of Allah, the book of Allah, Al-Quran. And the best guidance is the guidance of the Sunnah of Muhammad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And the worst of all affairs in this dunya are newly invented matters or novelties in this deen. For every newly invented matter in this deen is an accursed innovation. And every accursed innovation is a going astray, and every astray will lead that one to the hellfire. After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Him in a manner that is not befitting Him, because we cannot praise Him enough. And after sending as-salat and as-salam on our beloved Prophet al-Mustafa, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, I then thank the coordinators and organizers of this auspicious, blessed, inshallah, program on the subject of ad-da'wah for inviting me here again to the city that they call as brotherly love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. To talk about the topic of Islam again. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us people of da'wah, to make us the du'at, calling to the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to call the people to, which is the kalimatul tayyiba, the good word, la ilaha illallah. Before we begin on this brief topic of the methodology of our rightly guided predecessors, I'd like to just make a word of caution so that any of us that have come here to hear these lecturers who are much better than myself, who preceded me in their talk, anyone who has come with the niyyah for any other reason than to learn about the deen of Islam, to better their lives so they can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, please change these people's niyyah right now. And I'm asking you, after asking Allah, brothers and sisters in Islam, the time has come for us not to come to listen to lecturers as an entertainment like it's HBO or Showtime. We should be coming so that we can learn how to get closer to Allah and get closer to that Jannah. And not to hear people come from far and near so that we can be entertained. Because some of us are trying to get away from the music and those other haram things. And I say with no hesitation, haram. For those of us who are listening to these speakers, I'm asking you to change your niyyah. And don't come to listen to people so you can go back and either talk bad about them or good about them or indifferent about them or just to be entertained. That you should be trying with all your level best to implement the one ayah that you heard that you only remembered if one ayah or one hadith. This is the reason why we should be coming together to hear people talk about the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ and the way the companions understood it and practiced it. If you're coming for any other reason, may Allah forgive you of your sins. May Allah forgive you of anything that you have that is a deviant, of a deviant nature. And may Allah change your niyyah. May Allah change your niyyah to come and listen for only one reason, so that you can leave this room, and this so-called higher institution of learning, and practice what you've heard. If you've come for any other reason, brothers and sisters, you need to get up right now if you can't change your niyyah and leave. Not to be entertained, not to be swooned, not to say, oh wow, or he made a good point, or he looks halfway decent, maybe he needs a wife, or something like this. No. We should be coming only to learn about Islam and implement it. For there are too many people that the brothers who have preceded me in their speeches have said, there are too many people out here that don't know about Islam. Our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, whoever, our neighbors. And we leave here, and the person who lives at 2C, and you've been living at 2B for 25 years, you don't even know their name, they don't know your name, and they haven't heard one word of Islam from you. So this is the reason why we should be coming together, inshallah. And may Allah forgive me for anything that I said already that is wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Also, at the outset of my brief introduction to you about the methodology or the manhaj of our rightly guided predecessors, I'd like to say that there's some talk around the Muslim world and around the non-Muslim world where Muslims preside and live, and we've already heard about living among the kuffar, and I pray that Allah, that we try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us implement that. There's much talk about this word that my predecessor and my colleague and my brother and true friend in Islam, Abu Muslima Abdullah Tawfiq Tobias, Hafizahullah, has already only alluded to maybe once or twice. I counted maybe once or twice. And he tried with all his level best to refrain from using this terminology that I'm going to use in the most prolific manner that I can find. And that word that Muslims are talking about around the world now, that some Muslims have a problem with using and some Muslims have a misunderstanding about, is the da'wah of the salaf. And I'm sure that some of us have heard some things said about this, and my speech today, inshallah, is to present, if you haven't heard it, for the first time, and inshallah, by his power and by his might, and not any power or might on my own, to clear up maybe some of the misconceptions of this quote-unquote movement, quote-unquote mazhab of the Salafiyya. This is my purpose here today, and may Allah loosen the tongue, loosen the knot in my tongue, as Musa alayhi salam said, وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Oh Allah, loosen the knot in my tongue so that the people may understand. Ameen. Of course, because I'm not an alim, I have all these books and magazines in front of me. Alhamdulillah, I'm not ashamed to say it. And I'm going to read some things that I think that we need to understand and maybe ponder upon, because once again, some of us may have a misconception about this da'wah, the da'wah of the Salaf, or the da'wah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Before we begin, I'd like to mention or cite a very beautiful statement of one of the greatest Muslims that ever lived, and Allah knows best. His name was Al-Awza'i, Rahimahullah. He said, when it was said to him, asking him a question. He said, خَمْسٌ كَانَ عَلَيْهَا أَصْحَابُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالتَّابِعُونَ بِإِحْسَانٍ. He said, there are five things that the companions of the Messenger of Allah, and the companions of the Messenger of Allah, of course, and the tabi'un, their companions of the Messenger of Allah, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, were those individuals who preceded us in righteousness and piety and knowledge, etc. They, because they preceded us, in the Arabic language we call them as salaf. He said, Al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, there are five things that the Sahaba and the Tabi'un were on. And those Tabi'un that he mentioned were those Tabi'un that followed the Sahaba, who followed the Prophet in goodness and in righteousness and in perfection. And then he started to enumerate those five things. I want you to listen very closely to these five things. And as we go on in this brief lecture, inshallah ta'ala, try to remember or think if any of the groups that have become prolific in the world today, if any of the groups are highlighting one of these points, and which group are highlighting all of these points. Because for surety, if the group that is on the haq, the truth of Islam, are highlighting all five points together and not centralizing or focusing on one of the five, then know for surety, brothers and sisters in Islam, that that group, whether they be in Bangladesh or the Seychelles Islands off the coast of Madagascar, or in Toronto, Canada, or wherever they are, that is the group that is affiliated with the Sahaba. Because this is what the Sahaba and the Tabi'un were doing. Those five things are Luzumul Jama'ah, sticking to the Jama'ah. And we'll explain what the Jama'ah means, inshallah. Sticking to the Jama'ah. And we'll just, for loose conversation here, just say it means the congregation or the group. That's number one. وَاتِّبَاعُ السُنَّةِ, and to adhere and follow and stick tenaciously to the sunnah. وَإِمَارَةُ الْمَسَاجِدِ, and constructing masjid, building masjid, making sure that masjids become prolific in the land. وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, and the recitation of Allah's book. وَالْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and jihad, which needs no translation, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you find a person, black or white, Arab or non-Arab, male or female, that is about this type of dawah, the dawah that Al-Awza'i rahimahullah said is one of the five things or the distinguishing factors of the companions and the tabi'un, then know for surety that those individuals, no matter who they may be or what color they may be or where they may live, they're going towards the way of the salaf. Not one of them, not centralizing or focusing on one of these aspects, and there are many. And this was in his humble opinion, just these five, which were distinguishing characteristics. But all of these characteristics, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The word, brothers and sisters, as-salaf or salafa, it has many meanings. But the basic meaning, the origin in the Arabic language of this word, coming from the verb seen, lam, fa, sa, la, fa, it means something that has gone by, something that is over with, something that has passed, something that has preceded or anteceded. This is the literal meaning of a salaf. As for the religious meaning of salaf, the religious meaning is the rightly guided forefathers. Those individuals in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived with, fought with, and they died for Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. People like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Talha, Zubair, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and others. And from among the females, of course, Aisha, our mother, Hafsa, Kulthum, etc. These individuals, along with the generation that came after them, and the generation that came after them, the third generation, these individuals, because they came before us, they have preceded us, they've gone on to their reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are called as-salaf as-salih. As-salaf as-salih are rightly guided predecessors. And there's much about them in the Quran. And there's much about them in the Sunnah. And there's much about them in the traditions and narrations from those individuals themselves. And there's much on the tongues of the people who came after them, like the illustrious four Imams, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam al-Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. May Allah have mercy on all of them. There's an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about them, and I'd like to take this time to say, brothers and sisters, when you hear these verses of the Quran talking about al-mu'minun or al-mu'mineen, the believers, you should not think about yourselves first. You should think about the salaf. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about them first. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the believers, you should not think of yourself and then work your way back. You should think about them and work your way down to yourself and put yourself last. When you read the word believers, those who do righteous deeds, those who believe, why do you think about yourselves first? You should be thinking about them. Those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and He didn't say it about you or me, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. He's not talking about you, and He's not talking about Dawood Adib, the son of David White. He's talking about the Sahaba, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And there are many other verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them. As for the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about them by saying, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of people is my generation, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them. Three generations. And as for the hadith, it says, خَيْرُ قُرُونَ. There's some suspect about this hadith being authentic, and Allah knows best. We think that this hadith cannot be accepted and not be stated on our tongues, and we don't want to attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that says the best generations is my generation. We stick to the one that's authentic, which is the best people is my generation, and then those who come after them, and Allah knows best about the authenticity. And as for those statements from the people themselves, there are many and which we'll come to inshallah. So when we say as-salaf as-salih, we mean those individuals who have preceded us in righteousness and piety and knowledge, etc. Consequently, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions of the Messenger of Allah, radwanullahi alayhim, and those who came after them and those who followed them, they are the ones whom we should look to, because the Prophet alayhi sallam said they are the best of generations. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be obeyed. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to follow them, after Allah's statement about following them in the Quran, of which my brother and colleague had recited the verse about following them and the best generation, we should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا آتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Messenger of Allah gives you, take it, and whatever He forbids, abstain from it. And inshallah, I'm taking some of these notes from a book that I hope that we can make available for everyone in the very near future, called The Methodology of Our Rightly Guided Predecessors, or The Methodology of the Salaf. And this is the booklet here, and it's been translated from this little booklet here. So when we talk about the method, the methodology of the Salaf, we're not talking about some newly made up thing. This word Salaf, as we just explained, is not a new thing. It's not a new word. It's not a new mezhab or a new cult or a new group, like some people claim. No, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His book, and He has mentioned on the tongue of His prophets in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we like to do, inshallah, brothers and sisters, is present some of the aspects of this methodology. And once again, I'm here not to step on anyone's toes today. I'm not here to bash anyone This is not a Sufi bashing. This is not a Jama'atul Tabligh bashing. This is not a Hizbul Tahrir bashing. This is not a Balalian bashing. This is not a Ikhwan Muslimin bashing. This is only, I'm not here to curse the darkness. I'm here to light a candle. That's my purpose here today. Inshallah, to clear up for once and for all the methodology of the Salaf. So please bear witness. And those individuals who are coming from New Jersey, especially from the East Orange and Newark area, please be patient because you've heard these things already at the Islamic Center of East Orange. Alhamdulillah. These, brothers and sisters, are some statements. Some statements pertaining to the belief and the methodology of our rightly guided predecessors. And to give you some explanation for some terminology, the word methodology in the Arabic language is minhaj. Minhaj. This is the word that they translate as methodology. One of the great people of Islam who came around 125 years or 100 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Az-Zuhri rahimahullah. He was one of the greatest personalities of Islam. He said, it is for Allah to make clear. What we're talking about today, brothers and sisters, is the methodology, the belief, partially the belief, and in more exaggerated terms, the methodology of the Salaf. He said, it is for Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ الْبَيَانِ. It is for Allah to make a clear statement. What does this mean? In other words, it's for Allah to send down the revelation. Allah is the one who sends down the revelation. This is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the jobs, for lack of better words, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَعَلَى الرَّسُولِ الْبَلَاغِ. And it is for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deliver this clear statement. وَعَلَيْنَا التَّسْلِيمِ. And it is for us, listen to our job now. We're talking about the methodology of those people who preceded us. If we want to be like those people who were promised Jannah, we should listen to these words. And it is for us, we the Muslims, to submit. It's on Allah to send down the revelation. It's on the Prophet to convey that revelation. And it's on the Muslims to submit. So if you want to be shown as an individual who's following the way of the Salaf, not a cult, not a madhab, but the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Itba'u Tabi'een, those three righteous generations, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the revelation and there isn't any more, and when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam delivers the message and he has gone to his reward, then it is for you and I to do nothing except submit. Whatever Allah says in his book, and whatever the Messenger of Allah tells us to do or shows us in his example, we should be breaking our necks. We should be rushing to implement it and submit to it whether we like it or not. And we should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us like it. Amen. Another individual, an illustrious, eminent individual, personality from those people who came about 180 or 189 years and died 198 years after Hijra. His name was Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah. He said, all with which Allah has described himself in his book, for its explanation is in its recitation and being silent about it. In other words, not indulging in discussions about the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names and his attributes. All with which Allah has described himself in his book, for its explanation is in its recitation and being silent about it. In other words, whatever Allah says about himself, now he's dealing with the aqidah, the belief, whatever Allah says, that's it. We don't try to elaborate, we don't try to say, no, Allah is not like that, or it really doesn't mean this, or something like this. We accept it and we recite the book of Allah, and whatever is being said that we don't understand, we're silent. As for Imam al-Shafi'i, and as my colleague has said in the past, for those of us who don't know, meaning Abu Muslim, my colleague, He explained to us in a class that he gives at our masjid on purification of the soul, and may Allah make all our souls purified. Ameen. He said in his class, talking about Imam al-Shafi'i, that he was the second mujaddid. The second mujaddid of that time in the Muslim era. Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He said, آمنتُ بالله. I believe in Allah. وَبِمَا جَاءَ عَنِ اللَّهِ. And what has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى مَرَادِ اللَّهِ. The way Allah meant it to be understood. See, all of us, we say we're Muslims and alhamdulillah we are. But the proof that you follow the sunnah and the way of our rightly guided predecessors called as-salaf as-salih is not enough that you say, I believe in Allah. It's not enough that you say that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or amantu billah. It's not enough, brothers and sisters. Nor is it enough to say, wa bima ja'a anillah, and that which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with, meaning in his book, in Al-Quran. But after this, Imam al-Shafi'i said, wa ala muradillah, and I also believe and accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with in the manner that he meant it to be understood and implemented. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters. It's not sufficient for the Muslim to say, if they say they follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say they follow the example of the Salaf, the Sahaba, it's not sufficient for them, for you and I to say, I believe in Allah and that which Allah came with, without believing in that which he came with the way he intended for you to believe in it and implement it. This is of extreme importance. And in Imam al-Shafi, he went on, he said, وَآمَنْتُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَبِمَا جَاءَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مُرَادِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. He said, and I believe in the Messenger of Allah, and all of us say this, and that which the Messenger of Allah came with, and some of us do this. But then the last part of it, in the manner that it is intended to be understood, the way the Messenger of Allah wanted us to understand it. This is extremely important, brothers and sisters, and inshallah, if it's not clear, may Allah allow me to make it clear to you before this evening is over. Ameen. So these individuals who have preceded us, like Al-Zuhri and Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Imam al-Shafi'i, they have laid down some principles. They have laid down some guidelines and some conditions. And they've laid down some clear indications on who among the Muslims are those individuals who follow in reality the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, who died in the first generation, or in the first period, 32 years after the Hijrah, in the city of Al-Madina, commonly known as Medina Al-Munawwara, of which some of the people call it. He, the illustrious companion of our beloved Prophet alayhi salam, had said, follow and do not introduce new things, for indeed you have been given sufficient. Follow and do not introduce new things, for indeed, you have been given sufficient. فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. You've been given sufficient. What does he mean? He means that what we've been given in the Quran and what we've been given in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way the companions, our rightly guided predecessors, as-salaf as-salih, from among the male and the female of them, is sufficient for the Muslims. We don't have to take a needle and thread and make an alteration here on the garment of Islam, hem a little bit up here, slide down the cuff here, put a button here, or bring the pocket from the left to the right. No. This garment called Islam has been completed and perfected and is sufficient for you. And if you really say you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you really say you believe in that which he came with, and his messenger came with, the way they intended, you will leave Islam the way it is,
and you will stick to the sunnah of that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way our rightly guided predecessors understood it and practiced it. And if not, then you are in the schism, you are causing the cult, you are causing the problem, you are making the fitna, you are making the sect, and we who want to stick to it tenaciously with the back teeth in our mouths, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِزِ, hold on to it with your back teeth. We are on the hop and you are the deviants. Don't call us the deviants and say we're causing the fitna because you want to take another route. No, you are the ones who are deviating and you are the ones who are causing the sect. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you, me, the Muslim, who came after those people, the Sahaba and the Tabi'un, and those who followed them, if you believe the way they believe, then you are guided. If you believe the way they believe, then you are guided. If you practice your Islam the way they practice Islam, then you are guided. If you walk their walk and talk their talk, then you are guided. وَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. And if you turn away, if they turn away, Allah says, away from what? Away from the Quran, away from the Sunnah of Muhammad ﷺ, and the Salaf, then they are the ones that are in the schism and the sect. Not us. They are the ones who turned away from that way. So we are not here, brothers and sisters, to cause any fitna. We're only here to shed some light on those individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and made them illustrious among the Muslim Ummah. Umar ibn al-Abdul Aziz رضي الله عنه, he says, قف حيث وقف القوم, قف حيث وقف القوم, stop where the people before have stopped. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, wallahi al-azim, this statement is tremendous. قف حيث وقف القوم, stop where those people stop. In other words, if they didn't dress a certain way, if they didn't walk a certain way, if they didn't eat a certain way, if they didn't talk a certain way, if their political systems weren't a certain way, if their economic programs weren't a certain way, or whatever it is of Islam, then you should stop where they stop. Whatever they did, you do. Whatever they didn't do, don't you do it. حَيْثُ وَقَفَ الْقَوْمِ, stop where the people stop. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَنْ عِلْمِ وَقَفُوا, because indeed their stopping was based on knowledge. Because indeed their stopping, when they halted on an issue, it was halted on knowledge. وَقَفُوا, wherever they stop, بِفَصَرٍ نَافِذٍ كُفُوا. And he ended the statement and he said, and with great insight they restrained themselves. This is the way of our fellow brothers and sisters in Islam. And again, Imam Al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِآثَارِ مَنْ سَلَفْ. For those who try to say that this is a new word and this is a new quote-unquote movement and a new thing that's a reaction to something that happened in the East. Al-Awza'i, the illustrious Imam, who died 157 years after the Hijra and approximately 990 years before Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, whom the people are trying to say that the Salafis are Wahhabis, the statement that these individuals who I'm mentioned came centuries before Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The same things that Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, whom the people are trying to say we're following and saying we're Wahhabis, they said this before Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, great, 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 great grandfather was born. For are they Wahhabi? Is Abu Hanifa a Wahhabi? Is Imam Malik a Wahhabi? Is Al-Awza'i a Wahhabi? Is Abdul Ibn Mas'ud a Wahhabi? Subhanallah. Al-Awza'i said, Alayka bi athari man salaf. Stick to. You must adhere to the way of the salaf. That's the exact word he used. وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ. Even if the people reject you. You see, brothers and sisters, today is different from before. In the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, if the multitudes of the people was against a Muslim, if the majority of the Muslims, if the consensus of the Muslims was against a Muslim, that means he was wrong. Nowadays, you have to flip the script. If the majority of the Muslims is against you, that means you're right. That's how bad things have gotten. And that's why when the people in Ali, or radiallahu ta'ala waradahu anhu, waradahu, said in his time, when the person asked him, why are the people acting the way they act in your time, and they didn't act like that in Abu Bakr and Omar's time? Why everybody's bugging out in your time, and in Abu Bakr and Omar's time, they weren't bugging out in common language? He said, because in Abu Bakr and Omar's time, he had to deal with people like me, and I had to deal with people like you. We're talking about the methodology of the salaf. Don't worry about the imams and the sheikhs who are around the United States and around the world, brothers and sisters, who are deviant and are calling people to dalala, calling them to error, calling them to bid'ah. Don't worry about them. You just call the people to the truth, call the people to the haq, and those people who are calling the people to otherwise, whether they be sheikhs, imams, mullahs, muftis, or whatever they want to call themselves, maulanas or whatever they call themselves, believe me, brothers and sisters, if you call the people to the truth, the way of the Quran, and the authenticated sunnah, and the way of the salaf, you won't have to worry about those individuals, those imams that have those illustrious buildings, and those beautiful cars, and those beautiful masjids, and have all the cash, and all the periodicals, and magazines, and books. And here the people who are struggling on the sunnah, they're poor, they're destitute. Don't worry about them. Let me tell you a story. Once there was a young man, maybe around 20 years old, we'll give him 20 or 21 years old of age. He heard about this young man around his age who was a high-powered sheikh, 20, 21 years old. So he got on his animal, packed up his gear, and he went to look for him, to learn some deen from this young sheikh around his age. So he traveled for hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. And when he got to the city, he saw a big crowd of people crowding around him. And he got closer and he broke his way through the crowd. And he heard that sheikh who he had heard about, that young sheikh around his age, talking bid'ah, kufr, shirk, misleading the people. And the people were bugging, yes, oh yes, he's so great. So he got upset, like many of us do when a person commits bid'ah or does the haram or leads people astray or whatever. And we're not saying that the people of the salaf say everything is haram or bid'ah, because everything is not haram and bid'ah, but a whole lot of stuff is. Anyway, when he got close and he started listening, he said, this is not the truth. What are you people doing? Don't listen to him. And so the people looked at him because they were so into the personality. Dawood Adib is coming. Dawood Adib is coming. Dawood Adib is coming. They were so much into the personality, they'll like, guide you. I mean, they'll like, guide you. Because anybody who's breaking their neck to hear me, following me, they got to be out to lunch. You should be following the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. That's what you should be following, not Dawood Adib or Anwar Abdul Muhaymin or Abu Muslima or Diyaluddin or whoever. Anyway, when he heard him, he said, this is not the truth. And the people, then he started getting upset. He said, you should not be listening to this man. And the people started jumping on him, beating him up. He went away, his clothes all ripped up, turban all upside down, bleeding from the mouth. So he went away. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some years of wisdom on him. 15 years went by. 20 years went by,
30 years went by. Little gray came in his beard. He became a sheikh in his own right. So one day, as he was going traveling to teach the dawah of al-Salafiyya, and not the dawah of al-Khalafiyya, to teach the dawah of the Salaf, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, he came upon the city and was an old man teaching something, and the people were all gathered around him, listening to him attentively. When he got closer, he said, "This is the same individual teaching the same stuff." So he broke his way through the crowd and he said, "Yes, what he's saying is beautiful. It's so true. It's so great. He is so great." He said, "Let me touch him." And he pulled a piece of hair out of his beard intentionally. He said, "It's blessed. It's holy." And the people said, "We want some too." And they jumped on him and killed him. Don't worry about it, brothers and sisters. Don't worry about it. When the people wake up, when these people that are misleading these people, when they wake up, they'll take care of them. Don't worry about it. So Imam Al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِآثَارِ مَنْ سَلَفْ وَإِنْ رَفَضَكَ النَّاسِ. He said, you must adhere to the way of the Salaf, even if the people reject you. He said, وَإِيَّاكَ وَآرَاءَ الرِّجَالِ وَإِنْ زَخْرَفُوهُ لَكَ بِالْقَوْلِ. He said, and beware of the opinions of men, even if they decorate it with fine speech. He said, beware of the opinions of men. What men was he talking about? He's talking about the people who came after the three rightly guided generations. Those three generations of righteousness. The people that started calling to a madhhab. The people started calling to a political regime. The people that started calling to kaumiyya or asabiyya, nationalism or pride. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let those who are calling to nationalism and party pride bite on the penis of their father. Bite on the head of the penis of their father. And I'm not watering the statement down, but that's exactly what he said, and you can find it authentically translated and transmitted in the book called Al-Miskat al-Masabih. For those people who are pushing this Afrocentrism, the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let them bite on the head of the penis of their father. That's the words he used, and that's the words I'm using, because I'm following the Salaf. I'm not watering it down. The people who we should be worried about following are those people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already told us about, called the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And I'd like to make a short note here that just came to my mind by the permission of Allah. And no, revelation has stopped with the Prophet Muhammad. I didn't receive the revelation. So don't somebody try to say that I'm getting inspiration. It came to him, a light bulb came on or something. No, it just came to my mind. There's a hadith that some people attribute to the Prophet, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in authentic transmission, narration, collected by Imam Muslim and others, من قال علي ما لم أقول فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever says something I didn't say, whoever attributes something to me that I didn't say, whoever lies on me, saying I said something and I didn't say it, your lazy boy, my translation, your feet is already waiting for you in the hellfire. Let them occupy. It's already waiting for you. You lie on the message of Allah, that seat is waiting for you, and it ain't going to be cushioned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been attributed, as we on this point of the Sahaba, the Prophet alayhi wasallam, it's been attributed to him, a lie, that my companions are like stars. Ashabi kan nujum. My companions are like stars. Any one of them you follow, you'll be guided. This is a lie on the messenger of Allah. And you better get it off your tongue. You better spit it out like it's a piece of pork chop. You should stop lying on the messenger of Allah, and you should be concerned if the hadith is authentic, so you won't have that seat waiting for you in those flaming fires of the hell. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, we like to talk about some of the methodology of the Salaf. And the belief and methodology of the Salaf, or the aqidah and the methodology of the Salaf, is just not believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a faith. Some people, even among the brothers and sisters of the da'wah salafiyyah,
Some of them have been confused. Some of them have been bamboozled. Some of them have been duped and tricked into thinking from their nafs or from shaitan that the da'wah of Salafiyyah is only aqidah, only talking about Allah is over his throne, or he has a face, or he has hands, and he has feet, etc. No, brothers and sisters, the da'wah of Salafiyyah is a total da'wah. It is the da'wah that calls people to all of the sunnah. So what, you believe that Allah is not everywhere and you understand Allah is over his throne, but you've beaten your wife? That's not the da'wah of a seller. So what, you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hands and they're not allegorical, and you don't take care of your wife when you be going out in the path, you be leaving her with the electric cut off and no food in the refrigerator? That's not the way of the seller. So what, you believe that we believe in the divine decree and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already had it written 50,000 years before creation, but you lie to your brother and you backbite him and you slander him? That's not the way of the seller. The way of the seller is that you implement every single thing that they did. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُ بِهِ فَقَدِهْ كَدَوْ. If you believe the way they believe, then you are guided. If you believe the way they believe, then you are guided. Among those things, brothers and sisters, that is a part of the methodology of the Salaf, of which maybe many of you may have a misconception about, is that the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of Ad-Dawah Al-Salafiyyah, don't classify any Muslim from among the Muslimun, from among the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, with kufr, saying that they are kafir simply because they made some major sin. It is not the way of the Salaf, Ad-Dawah Salafiyyah, to call a Muslim a kafir because he drinks alcohol. This is not the da'wah of the Salaf, brothers and sisters. If a Muslim commits adultery 50,000 times in a day, and I doubt that the most prolific criminal can do that, you do not call him a kafir. Even if he's a pork-eating, wine-drinking, dope-snorting, homosexual, having sex with children Muslim, you can't call him a kafir. That's the da'wah of Ahl Sunnah, that's the da'wah of Salafiyyah, and if you call him a kafir, you have deviated. فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. You are in a schism, because the way of da'wah Salafiyyah is that we don't impute or attach kufr, the real kufr, to anybody because of a major sin. Unless that Muslim repudiates or rejects after clear knowledge and proof and evidences have come to them, those things that are commonly known to be a part of the fundamentals of Islam. If that Muslim denies, saying, I don't believe that khamr is haram, I'm smoking this reefer anyway, I don't believe it's haram, and you present the verses of Quran, and you present the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the statements of the Salaf, and they still continue after the proof is clear to them, and they're not majnoon, stark raving mad out of their minds, and they have to be sent close to that if they do that, then they are indeed a kafir. But should you call them a kafir? Should you go around the countryside saying, Abdullah is a kafir? No. You lead that to Allah. We hope for the good and of the person, and we fear for the bad for them, because they're under the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, among the methodology of the Salaf and among our beliefs closely associated with the belief of the Salaf and those who espouse the da'wah of the Salafiyyah, is that we don't make a definite declaration that so and so is in Jannah. It's not permissible among the rules and principles of those who stick to the da'wah of Salafiyyah to say that Hassan al-Banna is in Jannah, or that Sayyid Qutb is in Jannah, rahimahullah, rahimahumallah, wa ghafar Allahu anhuma. May Allah have mercy on them and forgive them of their sins. It is not permissible, brothers and sisters, to say that Malik al-Haj, Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X is in Jannah. It's not permissible. Nor is it permissible to say that so-and-so is in hell. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his prophet alayhi salatu salam has stipulated in no uncertain terms in clear-cut Arabic language that they are in Jannah or in hell. It is a way of the Ahl Sunnah of Da'wah Salafiyyah that you don't impute or attach or associate kufr to someone, the ultimate kufr. We leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From among the Muslims. We also, brothers and sisters, as a part of the methodology of the Salaf, are to take the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our friends and associates. We refrain from mentioning any shortcomings of them. We refrain from discussing those things that happened between them. All those things that happened between them, we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't highlight their fights, their wars, their mistakes, their sins or whatever, because they are not infallible. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, the English translation thereof, do not defame my companions. لا تسبوا أصحابي. For I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, even if you were to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as the mountain of Uhud in gold, you will still not attain as much as a handful of their blessings. Not even a half. Not even a half. Those individuals that some of us have the audacity to talk about in a bad light, and some of us have the audacity to be chummy with these thinking lying Shia who lie and curse the companions. May Allah curse the kuffar. Ameen. And I'm not talking about all the Shia. I'm just talking about the ones who do that. Those individuals whom we getting all chummy and coochie crunch with, who be lying and defiling the companions, we need to run away from these type of people. The Prophet ﷺ has warned us against defiling and repudiating and rejecting and defaming his companions. In fact, when the companions themselves were laughing as human beings do, and we slip and we fall, and may Allah protect us and don't punish us if we forget or make a mistake, ameen. When they were laughing one day at the leg, the little skinny leg of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, because he was a very tiny man. He was so skinny and so small that when he used to fight the enemy, he used to jump on him and his feet would be off the ground. He'd be spawning him with his saw or with his sword. That's how small he was. So the companions sometimes used to laugh at the delicate nature of his legs when his thighs used to rise up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by Allah, the one in whom you're making fun of, the leg who's holding up that body, he's greater with Allah than Mount Uhud. And these are the people whom we should hold in the high of esteem. The Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. So, it is a part of the da'wah salafiyyah that we, brothers and sisters, hold in high esteem the companions. And don't be fooled by the statements of the people today that say, هم رجال ونحن رجال. They are men and we are men. أعوذ بالله. Yes, they are men and we are men too. But brothers and sisters, you are nothing like the Sahaba. And don't be fooled by these people saying they are men and we are men. What is your intention for saying they were men and we are men? What is your intention when you say that? You're trying to slight them, or either you're trying to lift yourself up. Either you're slighting them or you're lifting yourself up. It has to be one or the other. No. Yes, they were men and we are men. But they're not like us and we're not like them. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. It is also among the da'wah of the Salaf, brothers and sisters, that it is not compulsory, and this is really becoming prolific in the land today, especially the United States of Shaitan, it is not compulsory for any Muslim to adhere to any particular mazhab or school of Islamic fiqh. The people of the past didn't call people to following a mazhab, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious book, يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. Oh, you who believe. And as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, when you hear, oh, you who believe, you should listen attentively to it. As I remember one time when I was on Hajj, alhamdulillah, and those who made it and those who are going to make it, may Allah accept it. Ameen. I remember one time we was on Hajj and we stopped at one of those rest stops, and there were two little boys that were sitting out there selling some wares. For those of you who've been there, you've seen it at the gas station. So I was trying to get one of them to give me one of his cookies because I was a little hungry. They were about 8 or 9 years old, so he wouldn't give it to me. So I said to both of them, Qala Rasulullah, in other words, the Messenger of Allah said, and as soon as I said it, both little boys, may Allah bless their parents, ameen, whoever they are, because this shows that they were trained. As soon as I said, Allah's Messenger said, they both put their hands on their ears like this and did like this. Wallahi, it touched my heart. As soon as I said, Qala Rasulullah, they did like this. And when I said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you're not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself, they gave me some cookies. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, when you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you should do this. You should listen to what Allah is about to say after that. And if Allah is ordering you to do something, you should implement it immediately. And if He's telling you to stay away from something, you should stay away from it immediately. Allah says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from among you. Now, the scholars of tafsir, like Imam al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, and al-Qurtubi from Spain, and Ibn Kathir, رحمهم الله, may Allah have mercy on all of them, they say in their illustrious tafsir books of Quran, explanations and exegesis of Quran, that this verse, when it says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from among you, if you look at it closely, Allah only used the word obey twice. He didn't use the word obey three times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forgetful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forgetful. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, Allah says. And your Lord is not forgetful. أعوذ بالله. You think Allah left out the word obey for the third time when those in authority from among you? No. The scholars of tafsir say, when you look at this ayah closely, this is explaining to you that unconditionally, without a doubt and unrestrictedly, only two have to be obeyed unconditionally. As for the people who come after that statement, those in authority from among you, who are the ulama, the scholars, and the leaders, and we're not talking about the imams in the United States, like Imam Dawood Adib, or Imam Jamil Al-Amin, or Imam Warith bin Muhammad. We're not talking about them. This verse is not talking about them. I repeat, this verse is not talking about them, because you can disobey me. I'm the Imam of the Islamic Center, you don't have to obey me. But when the Amir comes, when the Khalifa comes, if you don't obey him, we all gonna jump on you. That's the person that Allah is talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey Allah, using the word obey, and obey the Messenger, using it a second time, and then, and those in authority from among you. And if you differ in anything among you, refer to Allah and Imam Warith bin Muhammad. Is that what it says? Refer to Allah and Imam Jamil al-Amin. Is that what it says? Refer to Allah and Imam Abu Hanifa. Is that what it says? Refer to Allah and Imam Malik. Refer to Allah and whoever. It says, فَرُضُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Refer to Allah and the Messenger. And the scholars of tafsir say that when the Messenger of Allah was alive, that verse means refer to Allah by going to the book of Allah and then go to find the Messenger of Allah by referring it to the Messenger. And when the Messenger of Allah dies, and he has already died, alayhi salatu wassalam, that it means to refer to the Book of Allah and to the Hadith of the Messenger of Allah, the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. And then Allah, in His ultimate, extreme wisdom, His deep wisdom, al-hikmatul baligha, He doesn't leave one word out unless it has profound meaning. He says, if you are believers in Allah in the last day. So that means, brothers and sisters, if you are not really a believer in Allah in the last day in reality, you're going to say, but Imam Abu Hanifa said, but Imam Shafi'i said, the reliance of the traveler said, the Muwatta of Imam Malik said, see, this is what you're going to say. The teachings of WD said, Imam Jamil Al-Amin said, and last and least, Dawood Adeem said, not least, but Allah says, refer to Allah and His Messenger, and the Messenger, if you are believers in Allah in the last day. I have 10 minutes and about 50 minutes worth of stuff to give. So inshallah, I'll try to speed it up. So brothers and sisters, as part of the da'wah salafiyya, we don't call people to a madhab. We don't call people to the fiqh madhab of this person or that person. Because those imams themselves, they said, when there's an authentic hadith, that's my madhab. If you find something that I'm saying contradicting the Book of Allah, throw it against the wall. It's not permissible for anyone to take our opinion, and they don't know where we found it. And I can go on and on and on about the statements of those individuals who wanted to stick to the way of the Salaf. Also, as a part of following the Salaf, as a part of the methodology of the Salaf, brothers and sisters, we must be individuals who believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he has said, whether we witnessed it or not, is true. Whether we have witnessed it or not, or perceive it or not, or understand it or not, is true. We are also those individuals who believe that Abu Bakr and Umar are the best of the Khalifas, in that order, Abu Bakr and then Umar. As for Uthman being over Ali, or Ali being over Uthman, this can be debated. But Abu Bakr and Umar, they are the best. And that we should hold them, as I said some time ago, in the highest of esteem, and we shouldn't revile them as Khomeini, as the so-called Ayatollah, Ruhullah, sign of Allah, spirit of Allah. Khomeini said, when I take over Mecca, when I take over Saudi Arabia, when I conquer the peninsula of Saudi Arabia, the first thing I'm going to do is not go around the Kaaba, is not drink some Zemzem, is not go between Safa and Marwa, is not make two rak'ah in the Rawdah of the Prophet's Masjid. The first thing that I'm going to do, and it's documented that he said it, and I don't know how you can sit here, or stand here, or lie here, or wherever you are, and wherever it is my voice, after I leave here, I don't see how you can even talk about that man in a good light, when he said, the first thing that I'm going to do when I hit the shores of Saudi Arabia is to take Abu Bakr and Omar's bodies out of their graves and throw them into the street. That's what Khomeini said. And this is documented. The way of the Salaf is that we hold these individuals in high esteem. And we don't argue who is the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always shown us who is the best. Abu Bakr is first, Omar is second, Uthman and Ali are third and fourth. And among them, we should also love the companions in general, and we should love the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should be holding them also in the highest esteem, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya nisa al-nabi, lastunaka ahadan min al-nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other women. So we should hold them in the highest of esteem. Brothers and sisters, if you love, and I know this is difficult, if you love your mother more than you love the wives of the Prophet, you have a defect in your iman. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. I know she was there for you. She gave birth to you. Alhamdulillah, whether she's Muslim or non-Muslim, you're supposed to love and honor your mother. You're supposed to love and cherish and honor your mother. And while I'm on this point, the hadith that says paradise is under the feet of mothers, that hadith is not authentic. Just for your information. The hadith that says paradise lies under the feet of mothers, that hadith and the chain of it is not authentic. Just for your information. But you should be holding in the highest of esteem over your mother, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhunna ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Also, as a part of the Salaf, the methodology of the Salaf, is that we have to start treating each other kindly. It is a part of the way of the Salaf, the methodology of the Salaf, that they show happy, they have glee and happiness over the happy times of the Muslims, and they grieve and feel sad over the sad times of the Muslims. And I wish we had time to talk about this. It is also, brothers and sisters, of the methodology of the Salaf that they don't sleep a lot. They don't sleep a lot. It is also of the methodology of the Salaf that they don't eat a lot. And they don't eat anything. And they're concerned what they put in their stomachs. And I know some of you who know me well are going to be talking about me after this is over. But you should stay away from that Pepsi, and you should stay away from eating that beef. Cut down on drinking those sodas, stay away from beef. And I'm not sorry, I'm not ashamed to say it, and I have my proof. Eating beef is my crew. I'll say it again. Eating beef is my crew. I'll say it one more time. Eating beef is my crew. What's your proof, Brother Dawood? My proof is the statement from Khuwayla ibn Bint Amr radiallahu anha, who said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we're talking about the methodology of the Salaf, because a sure sign of a person who has taqwa is their eating habits. The kuffar eat out of 7 or 8 intestines, and the Muslim eats out of 1 intestine. A Muslim should always be concerned with what they put in their belly. Should always be concerned with what you put in your belly. Khuwayla bint Amr radiallahu anha said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, and I'm sure the vegetarians among us are going to really like this one. He said, Albanu al-Baqar shifa, wasamnuha dawa, waluhumuha da. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the meat of the cow is a healing, and the fat of the cow is an antidote, is a cure. And the meat of the cow is an illness. The milk of the cow is a healing. The fat of the cow is an antidote or medicine. And the meat of the cow is an illness. It's a statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why do I say this? It's because as part of the methodology of the Salaf is that you be very careful what you eat, brothers and sisters. And lastly, and of course there were many other things, brothers and sisters, we should be very, very vigilant on making those prayers, fasting those days that are superlatory days, giving as much charity as we can, making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because for surety in conclusion, the whole dunya and everything in it is cursed. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said so. He said, "Ad-dunya mal'una." The dunya is cursed, brothers and sisters, and everything in it is cursed except for 3 things. And one of those 3 things, he said, is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who follow the methodology of the Salaf, they are constantly trying to make the zikr of Allah, reading the Quran, saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, standing at night in tahajjud. How can you consider yourself having a Muslim household, an Islamic household, brothers and sisters, and not once in a year you make tahajjud with your wife? How can you consider yourself on the way of the Sahaba and you don't fast one Monday out of the year, how can you consider yourself following the way of the Salaf? You have the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you don't fast on Mondays and Thursdays. And if you really want to celebrate the Prophet's birthday, then fast on Mondays. He calls to my conclusion, when the man came to him and asked him, O Messenger of Allah, what about fasting on Ashura? He said, this is an expiation for all your past sins. And what about fasting on the day of Arafah? He said, it's an expiation and atonement for all the past and future sins of the year. And he said, what about fasting on Monday? The Prophet ﷺ said, ah, this is the day that I was born and the day the first revelation started coming down. So if you want to celebrate the Prophet's birthday, brothers and sisters, and follow the way of the Salaf, then you should be implementing that fast, and you should be implementing tahajjud. You should, sisters, when your husband doesn't want to get up for tahajjud, and don't tell him Dawood Abib said this, tell him the Prophet said this. Take some water and sprinkle it in his face. The Messenger of Allah told you to do it. Don't get me beat up. The Messenger of Allah said, when he doesn't want to wake up, sprinkle some water in his face. And the same thing goes for the men. When you want to wake up for tahajjud, which is the best prayer, according to the scholars of the Salaf, the best prayer after the five prayers, and your wife doesn't want to get up, then sprinkle some water on her face. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, all the problems that we're having, if we want to be guided, if we want Allah to forgive us, if we want that new whatever, if we want this, we want that, you have to make the hajj, brothers and sisters. If you want to follow the way of the Salaf, you have to increase your prayers, increase your fasting, increase your charity, etc. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And to not put anyone on the spot, it is not the way of the Salaf to say Takbir Allahu Akbar. We're not finished, brothers and sisters. We have 14 minutes left. Brothers and sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Please, brothers and sisters, I've been asked to read this. And inshallah, if I'm making a mistake, and I made any mistakes in my brief presentation, I want to say now that may Allah forgive me and all of us, and all the corrections are from Allah, and all the mistakes are from Shaitan or myself. It says that one of the objectives for today's program is to inform the general body of believers of some of our activities and accomplishments, as well as to invite you to join us in our efforts. A major component of this work is the publication and distribution of free, I guess everybody did like this, right? When I said free, everybody did like this, right? Free literature concerning various aspects of our deen, much of which is geared towards the non-Muslims. The production of quality material requires a great deal of sacrifice of time, energy, labor, etc. One of the ways in which you can assist us today, brothers and sisters in Islam, and may Allah Azza wa Jal accept from us and you, ameen, is with a generous donation of your hard-earned, and I'm putting in there, halal cash. A charitable and generous nature are hallmarks of the Islamic character, and I'm putting in here the way of the Salaf, which we all hope to develop and cultivate for the pleasure of Allah. You brothers that's leaving, don't forget to throw that stuff in there that don't jingle. Throw that cash in that box, brothers. But for those who will donate more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required of us, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cultivate and develop this in our hearts. But for those who will donate more than the suggested minimum of $10, we would like
to present you with a small token of our appreciation, a small package of our publications, which will include, while the supply lasts, a copy of the limited first edition of the magazine called The Voice. These are destined to be a collector's item, inshallah ta'ala, so please be considerate of those who don't beat you to the table, and just take one copy per donation. We're asking for a minimum of $10, and if you don't have that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah bless you. We split equal amounts between brothers and sisters to allow everyone equal opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for all that you give of good. And I'd like to last say, brothers and sisters, if I have offended anyone here today in this auspicious gathering, in this blessed room of Muslims, those who believe in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, or anyone in the past of my visits in Philadelphia, male or female, imam or otherwise, or anything that you've heard on the tape, or anything, please, brothers and sisters, forgive me. I apologize, because I don't want to stand at that part of the bridge that when Muslims go over the bridge, for those of us who know the hadith, some will go كَلَحْمُ الْبَصَرِ, will go with the speed of light, some like rih, some like wind, some like the speed of a barq, of lightning, some with the blinking of an eye, etc. All those Muslims who go over, before you can go into Jannah, brothers and sisters, you're going to have to stand at this thing called Qantara. At the Qantara. It's a little bridge. And you're going to have to stand there and air out and purify and solve all the arguments and disputes and issues that you had in the dunya. And until you do that, brothers and sisters, at the Qantara, you will not be admitted into the Jannah. So you should, brothers and sisters, right now before you leave, those people that you have offended that are sitting next to you or not, I'm asking you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's over his throne in a manner befitting his majesty, to resolve your differences right now, Muslim against Muslim, cousin against cousin, brother against brother, parent against children, whatever your differences are, please apologize and ask that Muslim to forgive you, or go and give your apologies to that individual before it is too late, before you will be stopped at that bridge and you will not be able to be admitted to the Jannah. Allah yubarak fikum, jazakum Allah kulla khayran wa ahsan al-jaza. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Please explain or give the leal of music. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, if any of you want to know about music, there is a book entitled by one of our great brothers of Islam, rahimahullah, Abu Bilal Mustafa al-Kennedy, called The Islamic Verdict on Music and Singing According to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Salaf. If you get this book, it explains all those issues, inshallah, about music. The tapes are available in the room where the books are.